We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Microsoft Teams is helping a bicycle company reinvent the way that they work.
We make low-maintenance bicycles for everyday riders. Once the pandemic hit, we had nobody coming into the showroom. So we started doing virtual visits via Microsoft Teams.
We're able to see two or threefold the amount of customers we used to be able to see. All of a sudden, we could open up our showroom to customers around the world. I really think it's going to set a standard for retail moving forward.
Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome to this week's version of Talking Yang. Jeff Erickson, Chris Liss here. I want to thank everybody for listening. Hope everyone had a good Thanksgiving. Chris, you were talking about on your Thanksgiving that you were picking, like, you were working in the fields for olive oil or something like that on the show. Tell me, everybody, again what this was, because it sounded terrible.
Yeah, more or less. We went to this, we have some friends, these British people who stayed at this like country manor up in the Douro region of Portugal. It's like a 2.5 hour drive north of Lisbon, and they said it was pretty cool. So we they did it for the wine making, and then there's olive oil making. So we drove up, and you know, we had dinner there. We got there at night, had dinner. The guy just feeds you unlimited amounts of wine because he makes his own wine. And then next morning, in the morning, you get your old like jeans on and stuff, and you get kind of muddy out there, and you each get a rake, and you rake the olives. They have like 100 olive trees, but there were like 12 right near the property, and you get out there and you put the mats down and you rake the olives off, and you know, it takes a while. There's a lot of olives on them, and all the olives drop in the mats, and then you roll up the mats and pour them into buckets. And we got like, I want to say we got like 20 buckets, like big buckets the size of a large garbage can full of olives. And then basically they put it through a machine that gets, you know, you take out like the big leaves and sticks that are mixed in, but he'll go put it through a machine that blows off all the rest of the leaves, and then they put it through an olive press. And I don't know if you've ever seen how that works, but it basically squeezes all the, you know, the olives together and depits them, and the oil comes pouring out. We didn't get to that point. We just did all the picking for him. So we basically paid money to stay there. We were well fed and well boozed, but we it's probably too much information for people, this whole story. But basically we saw how olives go from tree to bottle. And then he, you know, took me and Heather to his wine making area, and we saw that too. So, you know, it's cool. If you ever want to buy some land and make olive oil or wine, like it's kind of a process, man. But olives are easier than the wine, but you know, you're like, okay, this is what it would take.
Right. It kind of sounds to me like you're paying to work while hungover. And granted, you get good wine for it.
But yeah, that's right. Paying to work while hungover, but the wine is really clean up in that region, so you don't really have a bad hangover. And they fed you like beef stew and dessert and stuff, so you were pretty well fed, so the hangover wasn't bad. And you're outdoors, sort of like, you know, misty, rainy, 55, 60 degree weather. It's pretty nice and invigorating. carrying all the stuff. And I was like, I felt good doing it. Like, we only work for like, I want to say two hours a day, basically.
Okay. All right. I guess that's fine.
Sasha did some of the work. You know, the kids were involved. They have kids, the people who
want child labor. All right. This is getting better.
Yeah. Child labor also.
Okay, great.
Yes. It was good. It was good though, man. It's a good experience. What about you?
Had a soccer tournament for Aaron. That was fun. Won 3 games and lost 2-1 in the finals. Aaron scored the goal in the 2-1 game at least, so there was that. But, you know, it was a little frustrating because we played this tournament usually is a little bit more competitive, and our first competitive game was the final. Like, we were trying not to score in the game before that. We won 8-0. It was one of those after one quarter is 4-0. So we were saying, okay, 10 passes before you can shoot, only shoot with your left foot, things like that. And no one really benefits from that. And so like, we didn't even allow a shot on goal, let alone a goal on those first 3 games. So we finally got to someone who, you know, basically punched back. It's like, oh, you know, we have to turn it on again. And I don't think we were quite ready for that. So it's good for us in the long run. We got a pretty good team. It's going to be a fun team to coach in All-Stars too. This is like the first time they play together. You know, we have a fall regular season where they're with all sorts of various skilled players, and then they come together around Thanksgiving for a tournament, which leads into the All-Star season. So this is like the first start to the All-Star season for us. So that's good.
Nice. So are you like more Mike McCarthy or more Bill Belichick? How would you put yourself on the scale?
I'm definitely not Mike McCarthy because I'm nice. I don't want to see that face on the screen again. Ugh, God, it was just frustrating to see that. I don't know what I am. I'll let others answer that one there. But, you know, we do well. I'm kind of like Marty Schottenheimer. Finished second a lot. I got to find we've won. We've won the.
You're like Marvin Lewis, right? I'd say you're more Marvin Lewis.
No, I've actually won a playoff game. Zing. Okay, and that's a perfect segue because the universe is trolling me because, first of all, there is a report going out before the game, Marvin Lewis could be transitioning the team over to Hugh Jackson. They brought him on the staff. He was their guy that they had in mind when Marvin, a few years ago when Hugh Jackson was on the staff. So I got all these people tweeting at me, Bengals fan, and all that. Then today, Andy Dalton goes on IR with his thumb injury, and the Bengals claim Tom Savage off waivers, allowing you to make your joke. I got people already saying, cue a barbaric joke. Okay, great. All right, get it over with.
No. I'm not going to make that joke.
Okay. Not today, at least.
I'm way too civilized. Too civilized for that.
I doubt that. You just didn't have the timing. You don't want to be set up. You want to wait to just have a gratuitous shot at me when I'm least expecting it.
No, I just don't think, I think that I already made the joke, but you just missed it. But anyway.
Oh, you're too civilized. Yes. Okay, got it. Yeah. All right. Very good. Well played. I did miss it. You're right. I'm so self-loathing right now.
You gotta explain jokes to your co-host, man. You know the podcast is going south.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Was it ever north? That's the question. So Bengals season is done. I mean, it was already done. They were losing 28-7 at the time Dalton got hurt, and they had no life. That doesn't finish the season. The season was already finished. And, you know, the thing that bothers me is now, like, oh, hey, they were going along fine, and then they had all these injuries, and Andy Dalton finished it. Andy Dalton's thumb injury finished it off. They were never that good. They got smoked by the Chiefs. They lost at home to the Steelers, and then they had a slew of injuries. This was not that great of a team anyhow. And I'm back to my hyper-negative ways that I was before the season, before they started off 4-1, because it's really just a waste of time. They're not even going to get a top 10 pick, or maybe they will because they'll lose out the rest of the way or something like that. But they're not going to get like the quarterback of the future in the next draft unless they get lucky and they find someone in the second or third round, because they probably won't get.
No, but they're not going to get the quarterback because they're not going to take a quarterback if they don't realize they need a quarterback.
I think they do. I think they do need. I think they got to realize. I think it's going to be a new coach. The only question is, are they going to go out and be creative with their coach? Are they actually going to get a real GM? Probably not. That's the problem. And that's just why we're going to be stuck in the mud forever. I mean, people are going to make the hire Hugh Jackson jokes. Well, is Jeff Fisher available? He knows how to get him up to respectability at 7-9, 8-8 at least. You know, things like that. I really think that that's kind of the path.
Yeah, but, you know, Jeff, I find this whole situation a little hard to sympathize with because, you know, last year when McAdoo got fired, There was some rumor briefly that Marvin Lewis might go to the Giants. And you actually tweeted at me in a mocking way about that.
Did I? I don't remember.
So then the joke was on too when he actually re-upped with the Bengals. And I feel like this is a bit of karma just for that tweet that you sent. So you're complaining and wanting people to feel sorry for you who listen to this podcast. But, you know, you were when the shoe was on the other foot, it was plenty funny to tweet at me. So I think you're just kind of getting what's coming to you, actually.
The joke is when they already re-signed Marvin for 2 more years. And we went from a 15-year plan to a 17-year plan. Okay.
Yeah, but before that happened, you tweeted at me that Marvin was going to go to the Giants and you were laughing.
I don't recall that.
Yeah, well, I'll search for it.
I'm saying that in jest. I think I can acknowledge that I did do that. There probably is some karmic comeback. Yeah. But why can't I make fun of you ever? You always get to make fun of my Bengals. You've at least won a Super Bowl. Your team's at least won a Super Bowl. With Eli, no less.
But two with Eli, but 4 total, you know, in my conscious lifetime. I wasn't around for the early, like, NFL championships that they had before, you know, in the pre-Super Bowl era. I think they won like 14 or something. But I have karma. I've caused a lot of problems, you know, with things I've tweeted and said and caused bad things to happen too, of course.
Okay. As long as we're on board with that. Okay. Other stuff, a lot of big injuries this week. Jack Doyle out for the season with a kidney injury. So, you know, we had that little clip from our XM show today pushed out about, hey, you should be starting Eric Ebron all the time. Now it's kind of like wasted because it's Captain Obvious advice. Now people are going to think that that's what we meant. But we did it before that any news of the injury even came out. We're kind of like, yeah, you got to start him. So, of course you do. But now that's
he's like
done.
He's like the number 5 tight end or number 4 tight end right now.
Right. Yeah, it's just only because of the snap count, and you know he had the shutout 2 weeks ago. But you know what? Tight ends happen all. You know, tight ends suck all the time. You know, you get bad tight end games all the time. Gronk has had plenty of bad games.
Well, here's the question: would you rather have a tight end that played every snap, got How about 5 targets a game, and played every snap, or a tight end that played, you know, maybe a quarter of the snaps, got 3 targets a game? But all of those targets were 2 out of those 3 targets are always in the end zone. You'd probably rather have the latter, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Absolutely. You'd rather have the latter. It's of course. By the way, I thought I'd go back. I had one more thought on the Bengals thing, and I know I'm going all in on the Bengals, but this was there's a tweet from the ESPN Bengals writer. She goes, I usually hate playing this game, but Patrick Holmes was sitting there at number 9 in the 2017 draft, and the Bengals took John Ross. And then someone else says, I love playing this game. Bold moves are built by build teams. The Chiefs traded up for Patrick Mahomes to take him, even though they already had Alex Smith. They don't need Mahomes. We have Andy Dalton. We thought, you know, that's I love that. I like it. He's absolutely right. It's like, yes, of course, you know. Gotta have that bonus. What you talk about all the time with when it comes to Dalton or whether it's the Ravens and Flacco. I want the Bengals to take Lamar Jackson this year.
I want the Giants to take Lamar Jackson. You know, probably Lamar Jackson is not the guy, but you want, unless you have a superstar, if you have Russell Wilson, I'm probably not taking a QB unless it's like a Kirk Cousins situation where they took RG3 and they took Cousins because I guess they must have felt the value was too good. Unless you get like some crazy value in the 4th round, if you have Russell Wilson, you're just not going to take another QB. He's young, he's healthy, you don't need one. But if you have anything short of a top 10 QB, you take a potential franchise quarterback. Especially if you don't even have to trade up for it, but you might even trade up for it. Like if I'm the Bengals, I would definitely trade up to whatever I needed to get a franchise quarterback. And the Giants, if the season ended today with the record they have, they'd be like the 5th pick. And you look at like some of the teams ahead of them would be like the Jets, who aren't going to take a QB, although at this rate they might. The Niners, who are not going to take a QB. And there's a couple other teams, but they can't just be like, oh, great, we're the, you know, if the Raiders are the only one that really need a QB, and who knows, maybe they'll stick with Derek Carr stupidly. But even if the Raiders decide to stick with Carr and there's other teams don't need a QB that are ahead of them, the Giants still have to be careful because all these teams like the Jaguars would be right behind the Giants. Of course they need a QB. Bortles just got benched, you know, and I don't think Kessler is the solution. So, you know, there's going to be teams trading up ahead of them. So just there, you know, by virtue of where you're drafting, unless you're first or second, you know, you're not locked into anything.
Yeah. And you should be, if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you should be drafting a quarterback pretty much every year. It's kind of like college with recruiting.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could argue that you should draft more than one. That the only problem is it's really hard to develop them without playing them. But you could almost argue that, like, well, all right, we have Carson Wentz, but we should also draft someone else, A, in case Wentz gets hurt or suddenly sucks, and B, like, we could trade him for a second rounder. I mean, you know, in a couple of years, or maybe a first rounder, or maybe multiple first rounders. If you get a situation like if your quarterback got hurt, let's say the Chiefs, you know, were committed to Alex Smith still, and Alex Smith gets hurt, and they had Mahomes go crazy for, you know, a few games. You could take that. If they saw Mahomes being what he is, they would never trade him. But like, you could trade that first round pick into like two first rounders. You know, so you. In a way, there's an argument. If you think QB is just so much more valuable, then you should draft one almost even if you have one, because just for, you know, just as a currency, not to use, but to spend elsewhere.
That's right. Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the RG3 Cousins situation, and they thought that's, hey, they saw something in Cousins. Remember, he cost less. I mean, you know, the thing is that was. Figure this out. The Redskins got that part right and got everything else wrong. I mean, somehow they found a way not to profit really from this whole situation. They did the whole franchise tag deal with Cousins. They couldn't get what they wanted for him. They couldn't, you know, RG3 got hurt, you know, and yet at the end of the day, they're still stuck in the mud. And then they traded for Alex Smith. And you think about how weird that trade is now. They traded away a third round pick and, you know, a starting secondary player, and, you know, paid him this crazy amount of money just to get a league average quarterback.
Right. Below average.
Yeah. I was being nice because he was coming off a massive year. No. He was coming off a great year. You know, let's not diminish how good Alex Smith was last year. He was really good last year.
He was really good last year. Yes, he was.
But. Anyhow, I just, you need to keep getting these quarterbacks. And, you know, you see them in practice every day. I mean, you do get to see them develop. You see how good they are, and you make that decision. You know, colleges make that call. You know, look at Alabama. They put in a freshman in the national championship game when their quarterback isn't doing the job. Now he's like the top quarterback in college football this year. You know, Clemson, same thing. They're starting a freshman this year. They let the guy who was starting the year go, basically. They released him from a scholarship because he wanted to, he's transferring away because they told him, you're not going to be the starter anymore. They saw so much in this freshman. They're like, okay, we can be better here. Like anything else. You know, NFL should be that way. The NFL has more tenure than college, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is really weird. So, yeah, and I just think it's been a total, and maybe back in the day, like 30 years ago, it was different, but right now, it's top 10 quarterback or bust. Quarterbacks, you know, 14 through 25, the bottom of the barrel is terrible. 14 through 25 are fungible, and they grow on trees. Anybody could envision Teddy Bridgewater being the 18th best quarterback next year. Anybody can envision, you know, pretty much any of those rookies this year who don't look very good, except for Mayfield, who looks very good, being the 19th best QB next year. It's easy to get into that range. They grow on trees. They're everywhere. It's never been easier to play quarterback in the NFL. The systems are better. The rules are set up to succeed. People think, oh, the quarterback's so important. No, quarterback play is important. But the quarterback himself in a decent system is going to play at a decent floor level. And it just depends a lot on the rest of your team. Now, when you get a quarterback that's actually a plus, like a difference maker, a top 10 guy, well, then he'll start transcending the system, make everybody better than just a solid system and a guy who can execute the throws and, you know, pretty much just do the basics that you're supposed to do. it's weird, but it quarterback to me is, it's only worth something at the very top. And I think it's true actually for most positions. And so the way people are looking at quarterback, like, oh, we have to get any quarterback. We have to long-term, no matter who we have, because it's, you know, we don't want to be lost in the wilderness. If we can lock up Dalton or Flacco or Carr, we got to do it. And that is just, it's totally false. You can get a Carr, Dalton, Flacco level guy off the street. It's just Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, Josh McCown will come in. Every year there's guys like this. Case Keenum becomes a guy. Every year there's players like this that are just available basically for free. And it's only like the bottom five QBs that are bad now.
Yeah, and so the classic mistake is like the NBA, giving a guy a max deal when he's not a max player.
Yep. Yeah.
And
right.
That's what this has become. So that's where the Bengals are at.
Foles won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's what they did. You know, they were like the Ravens, and they were like the Giants, and they were like the Raiders, and they maxed out a guy that is just a fungible piece that you could find for free.
Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Let me ask you this. Is Matt Ryan, which class is Matt Ryan in?
So I think those guys are on the cusp. I would put Matt Ryan on the top tier. He won an MVP. He should have beat the Patriots and won a Super Bowl. He's pretty damn good. I mean, Julio definitely helps him. You know, Julio makes him better, but I think Matt Ryan is above the level where you would extend him.
Matthew Stafford.
Below. I thought he was above, but I'm looking at what he's doing with, you know, he had Marvin Jones and Tate and Galladay, and then, you know, traded Tate, and now Marvin Jones is out for the year. Everybody's out for the year, by the way, now.
Yeah, I know.
But still, you know, it's like they still had like good backs to throw to, and Galladay and Marvin Jones and Tate for most of the year. And the results were underwhelming. And it just makes me feel like he's not a guy who transcends the situation. He's fine in a good system, but I kind of put him in more of the Andy Dalton tier than I do in the next tier up now.
Kirk Cousins.
He's a tough one because his YPA numbers are really good, and he's made those receivers better, and those receivers are really good that he has now. I don't know. I'm not sure. I would probably say no, but he might be. But he might belong in that tier. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and I think the problem with this exercise is the teams have to kind of decide in real time. Like, we have to decide, is Kirk Cousins worth that? Because that's what he's going to get.
No, the team's easy. The team gets to see him every day in practice. They know way more than we do about these guys. You know, we're seeing them with different.
No, the Vikings had to make that decision.
Well, they didn't see him in practice then, but they have way more resources and way more time to really look at the tape and, you know, and make a pretty good assessment.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they do have a lot more info at their disposal, but. Yeah, I just do think it is a kind of a thing that they have to make a tougher decision because they're the ones in real time that have to make it. The teams that have them all along and extend them, oof, those are the tough ones there. And then, of course, the draft pick costs that we've been talking about. You've made this point ad infinitum, the Sam Bradford problem, the Sam Darnold problem. Any quarterback named Sam apparently is a problem.
Yep.
That's definitely an issue you got to deal with. So now, you know.
Sammy Ball was not a good Sam that played.
Yeah. So let's look at all the teams that are going to need to make quarterback decisions this offseason. You know, I think the Bengals are in that crowd. The Jaguars, who have benched Blake Bortles, I mean, they finally have acknowledged that they're in that crowd. And again, super high draft pick. At least with the Bengals, it was a second-round pick. But, you know, they're going to have to make that decision, you know, in the offseason. They're going to have to see, are they going to trade up for the QB in the draft? Are they going to find one in free agency? Are they going to trade for one? How are they going to do this? They had this all this Jacksonville. They had this roster set. They had the defense. They had, you know, Fournette. They invest in the offensive line. Now they've had some offensive line injuries now too, but they have to make that decision. Dallas kind of has to decide this with Dak a little bit. You know, they have to decide.
I think Dallas is all in on Dak. Dak played really well in the Thanksgiving Day game against a decent defense. I don't know how much of that game you watched, but the Redskins should have covered a million ways this Sunday, and they couldn't do it. Partly missed extra point, partly bad non-penalty calls, but Dak was sacked on third downs and like pulled like a Cam Newton or Roethlisberger, where while he's getting sacked, he completed a pass. He, on the touchdown run that he had, he should have been sacked, got away, and ended up, you know, making a really nice touchdown run. He's played better. Having Cooper has been a huge deal. And it's so funny how all the sabermetric geniuses mocked the first rounder for Cooper, who's 24 years old, who was like the sixth overall pick or whatever, fifth overall pick the year he's drafted, and immediately had 2,000-yard seasons in a mediocre system with a mediocre quarterback. And suddenly, oh, that's such a rip. How could they pay a first rounder for him? And Dallas is probably going to win that division. And I think that Dallas actually has a puncher's chance against some of these other teams because their defense is pretty good and their offensive line's good. And Zeke is, who's also a very high pick for a running back, has, in my opinion, been worth the pick 100%. And if Dak plays the way he did against the Redskins, I think Dallas, I mean, they have a real handicap at coach. That's sort of the big negative. But I don't think they'll be an easy out. You know, maybe against, you know, the Rams and Saints, it's going to be hard for them to keep up. But I think they're, you know, they look like a playoff team to me.
Okay. I'm not all sold on Dak because I mean, it's a nice run he's had the last three games, but I can't get past how terrible he looked against Tennessee on that Monday night game with Cooper. Cooper had a good start to that game, and then the second half was just miserable, and Dak made a ton of mistakes that were on him, I thought. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe it is a weapons thing.
I don't know what's changed besides Cooper, but they need him to be a little bit more Cam Newton, where Cam can look terrible at times, but the guy's 6'5", 240. I mean, Dak's like, I don't know, 6'4", but he's like 240. Cam maybe 250, 260 even. But that you're like, oh yeah, this guy just by his physical skills is a real problem for defenses. That it's not just, he's not going to be, you know, Drew Brees in the pocket or have those kind of, you know, YPA numbers, but he's actually, the whole package is a problem. And now that he has somebody who can make a play, he's playing a lot better. Now, can we trust Jason Garrett? Probably not. But I was pretty impressed the way he played against Washington. I know it's just one game, but it was like, he looked like peak Cam Newton, basically, the way he was playing.
Yeah, and you know what? They started throwing to Zeke more, and I think that actually changes things. You know, I think it does change the defense's look there. They have to worry about that all of a sudden. It's funny that it took them 2.5 seasons to figure that out, but they're there now. Okay, let's move to the other teams. Miami, I mean, you can't think that Tannehill is going to be anything better than league average. I think they have to be in the market for a QB. Buffalo, Jets, who knows? I think if you're the Jets, you draft another QB, but you know, you don't spend a first rounder on them. But you know, sometimes you take these fourth round lottery tickets and they become Russell Wilson. I mean, the Seattle's plan in the offseason, the year they drafted Russell Wilson, remember, they traded for a quarterback and then released him.
No, they signed Matt Flynn.
They signed him or they traded for him? Okay. Either way.
Whatever. They said, but they extended him like 2 years and 10 mil. And he'd only really been in that shootout game against Stafford,
right?
In like week 16 that year, where he had like 500 yards. But yeah, they didn't know that Wilson was going to win the job. But to their credit, Wilson was just so good in preseason, they just gave him the job. And Flynn never played for them. But yeah, I mean, the Jets are all in with Darnold. They can't walk that back. It's too late. They can't. You know, the Dolphins will definitely get a QB, I think, you know, if they can, because I mean, Tannehill's just been in the league a long time. But I think that Darnold, the Jets are stuck with him for at least 2 years, and he's been hurt also. So that, you know, that's kind of, they're not going to be able to evaluate him maybe again this year. They're 100% going with Darnold. And if they took a quarterback, it would be like fourth or fifth round, and probably not even then.
Right. We talked about the Bengals. If I'm the Ravens, we'll see what happens the rest of the way. They're talking about splitting time between Jackson and Flacco, and I just can't see that going well. Maybe I don't have a big enough brain to envision it right, but I think it's problematic if you alternate. You know, you put in a third down QB or something like that. I don't like that look at all. I think they just got to play Jackson.
Yeah, well, I mean, the offensives are complicated anyway, and then you have, like, players adjusting to two different throwing motions, two different, you know, the velocity of the ball. I don't know. It just seems it's just going to muck things up. It's just so much can go wrong. It's not insane to do it. I mean, you know, baseball, they're having, oh, there's openers now. Like, oh, you can't do that. You can't have a guy open the game for two innings. Why not? You know, maybe they can do it that way. I mean, but I kind of agree with you that I think it's just sort of a morale thing. I think they don't know whether Flacco is going to be ready next week. And they can't say, oh, Flacco's ready, he's the starter, because Lamar Jackson just won two games, and that's going to hurt his morale. But they don't want to say, well, you know, Jackson is the starter no matter what, because, you know, Jackson played the Bengals and the Raiders, and, you know, Flacco, they don't want to give up on Flacco until – I think when you're getting rid of a guy who's been there 10 years and won a Super Bowl, you don't give up on him until you're totally done with him. You don't lightly bench Eli or Flacco or one of those guys, or, you know, if they were to bench Dalton ever, without being like, that's the end for that guy. You know what I mean? So if you move on from the job, then you've really moved on. And I don't know if they've seen enough from Jackson to say we've totally moved on, especially with the playoffs still kind of in sight. So I think they're in sort of, they're doing sort of a, they're kind of in a situation where they're just trying to keep both guys happy. Now that sounds like neither guy would be happy with that, because you can't really get paid in free agency or really whatever, but maybe, you know, maybe they're serious. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so. Okay. Moving on to other ones here. I like doing this exercise, going through, because I mean, you can just see that, okay, they're probably going to need one. They're going to probably need one. Okay. Tennessee, probably not, but man, the Mariota thing, I mean, the verdict is not in that he's going to be great, even if we assume health, which you can't assume. I think that's part of the problem with him, is you just can't assume it because of the nature of the way he plays the game. He gets hit a little bit more often, and I just don't know what he's going to be, but it's going to be tough for the Titans to invest in. You know, it's another one of those, okay, we better take another one in the fourth or fifth round sort of type of thing. But there's only so many of those. There's usually like, what, eight quarterbacks that get drafted every year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you get these things where the Giants take Davis Webb. I mean, I know there's a regime change during their, you know, Webb being there, but it's like he never played.
Nope.
So you just waste a pick. And then, you know, they got Lauletta this year, and I think they will turn to him maybe as early as this week because they're really out of it now.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the Giants had won this week, like you waste a fourth round pick and then you don't even get to see him. And then once they decide to move on from Eli after this year, they're going to take a quarterback in the first round probably. And then you have a guy that never gets a shot. So you can't just be taking these fourth round QBs unless you intend to play them. I think Mariota is at the point where he's gotten hurt so much that the Titans will take a QB in those rounds. I don't think they'll take a first rounder. And I think Mariota's, like, this year is going to matter. Like the rest of the season, because they're kind of sniffing in a playoff. Tonight's game will be the first. If they lose that, then maybe they're kind of out of it. And then Winston is the other one who, you know, it's unclear whether he's going to be the Bucs quarterback. I'll tell you what, if Winston or Mariota got cut loose, but probably not Mariota, but if Winston got cut loose, which doesn't seem crazy to me, given that they gave Ryan Fitzpatrick the job twice, I wouldn't be necessarily against the Giants signing him and drafting a defensive player.
I agree. I think that would be beneficial. I mean, to get him out of that one dysfunctional environment into another one. Although it's funny, you know, Shermer actually said, why are you guys asking me about Lauletta and not Alex Tanney? Is one of the things I did see go across Twitter today. I don't know if that was tongue in cheek or not, but if you look at the depth chart, I mean, Tanney is the backup, right?
Yeah. I'm hoping, and I assume that's coach speak. Like, he's a human being on the team getting the reps that he's getting. And if you just immediately assume Lalette is the guy, like acting like Tanny is a human being, does not exist when you know him and see him every day, I think that's not a good look for a coach. So we'll see what they actually do. But I think you have to, like, at least acknowledge Tanny's existence, which is what he did.
Yeah, I think that's, I hope you're right about that for your sake. but I did see that, and that struck
me. Lauletta got arrested recently.
Yeah, that's done. His punishment is he's had to watch Eli play. Jacksonville, we've established, will be looking for a quarterback. Chiefs, no. Chargers, and sometime you have to start thinking about succession planning, but, you know, great quarterbacks, they play forever. That's one of the things that's kind of, you know, underscored a little bit. Breeze is ticking at 39. Rivers is still cranking it out. Brady says he wants to play 5 more years. You know, a lot of these quarterbacks, you know, that's one position where you can age pretty well. So, you know, I wouldn't suspect that the Chargers are going to be looking for a pick early on next year. Broncos, Case Keenum, who knows?
Rivers and Brady have never been better. I mean, Rivers and Breeze have never been better.
Right.
But the thing about Rivers and Breeze is they're playing in the easiest era in which they've ever played.
That's true.
Like, suddenly nobody can touch them.
Yeah.
And nobody can touch their receivers either. And they're like, holy shit, this is so easy. Yeah. I'm going to complete 20 out of 29 passes. Nobody can do anything to my guys.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. Broncos, who knows with Case Keenum? I mean, they signed what? It was a 3-year deal they signed him to?
They'll take a quarterback because they, you know, Chad Kelly got released because he was doing some weird stalking.
Yep.
Paxton Lynch obviously couldn't make the team this year. So I think that Denver will definitely take a QB, maybe not in the first round. Keenum of late has been a good caretaker. Before that, he coughed up some games for them. So I think they'll take a QB, whether it's first round QB or like a fourth will depend on, you know, rest of the way, I think.
Derek Carr is going to be an interesting litmus test. First of all, are the Raiders going to back him? If not, how does he do in another system? Is it, you know, a total dysfunction of the Raiders? Or was he the active bad part?
If the Raiders let him go, he's going to be back.
He'll be
a backup.
You think so? You don't think anybody like the Giants will go after him or someone else and say, hey, we can fix him?
No way. I mean, why would you get someone with Derek Carr's track record and his cost and make him your starting QB?
You never know. The perception of him might be different than the reality of him. Our thoughts on his reality at the very least.
Right. Maybe.
I don't know. Unless
he came dirt cheap. Unless he like was already in journeyman status and was like a team who starts like Josh McCown or Fitzpatrick, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't see it. Yeah, maybe if somebody's, you know, if a team, like let's say the Ravens made the playoffs and get bounced and they're drafting like 23rd and there's no QBs early that they like, they could maybe sign a stopgap Carr and then like draft a second round QB or something. I don't know. I could see him being a backup. I mean, if the Raiders keep him, that's crazy because the Raiders will have their crack at whatever quarterback they want in the draft. So
right.
They're really passing something on. I don't know anything about college. I don't know about the quality of the prospects this year. I think it's a huge deal, you know, if Andrew Luck is there or if Cam Newton's there or if, you know, someone good, you know, really good. I mean, people didn't know that Pat Mahomes was as good as he was. Otherwise, he would have got taken a lot earlier.
At least one team knew that he was going to be that good. You got to give the Chiefs credit. They traded up to get Tate. At least one team knew. The Chiefs traded up to get him.
When did Deshaun Watson get drafted? Like, what pick was he?
Later, I'm sure.
You know, Deshaun Watson and Holmes, those guys look like long-term keepers. And, you know, that wasn't obvious to a lot of teams at the time because they weren't, you know, top of the class, but great if you get one of those guys. Most of the time, you know, Aaron Rodgers was 23rd. Breeze was the first pick in the second round. But a lot of the time, like when you get out of the no brainer top guys, you end up with Christian Ponder or Blaine Gabbert or Sam Darnold or, you know, I'm joking. We don't know yet with Darnold, but they start forcing guys because they're desperate for a QB, so they see what they want to see.
You know, one thing I'm looking at the NFC, there are a lot fewer teams that are going to be aggressively going after a quarterback. There's your Giants, probably the Redskins because Alex Smith may never play again. It's that type of injury.
They're definitely the Redskins.
Nobody, but Cowboys, Eagles, they're not going to be drafting one. Bears, Vikings, Packers, Lions, none of them will be drafting one. Saints won't be drafting one. Panthers won't be drafting one. Falcons won't be drafting one. Bucks almost certainly will. Although, who knows with Winston? Maybe Winston goes at, wins out or something silly like that. I doubt that happens. But he's
and Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals won't be drafting either. None of them.
Right. That's what struck me. You don't know what's going to happen with Josh Rosen. But they've obviously invested in him. The Niners have invested in Garoppolo. Yeah. I mean, there's very few teams in the NFC that actively have to go after one. They may not be getting what they expect out of that position, but the AFC is where the big mess is.
Yeah. But I mean, Winston, who really might be let go, that to me would be a free agent I would go after. He's young enough. Number one overall pick, showed glimpses of it. I wouldn't go sign Alex Smith or somebody like that to like a big deal like the Redskins. That was dumb. Maybe you could justify Keenum on a short term deal, but I would go after Winston, and Winston could still be the franchise QB.
Interesting challenge, Matt. Winston versus Carr if they both happen to become available.
Winston way, way better than Carr.
Yeah. I think Carr got his contract though, right? I think that's the difference.
Yeah, he's already getting paid.
Yeah, so it's not really the same sort of comparison, because I think you claim Carr, trade for Carr, you get his contract, and that's pretty bad.
Yeah, well, but Winston, it's interesting to speculate on what he'd be, because basically what the Bucs would be saying is we don't want to pay him that second contract. So in order to sign him, he would test the market, right? But like, if nobody wanted to give him that, it might be there's nobody who'd want to give him that second contract, because it's not just the on-field stuff, it's off-field stuff.
Right.
They want to take that chance. So, you know, what kind of deal could he get? He might have like a one-year prove-it deal or something like that.
That's right. So, okay. I thought this was an interesting exercise. There's fewer teams than I thought that were going to go, that are going to need to go after quarterbacks. It's still a lot, but there's probably 10 teams that should be drafting quarterbacks at the very least. You know, it means 20 teams are theoretically happy about their quarterback situation. A little higher than I would have expected, considering if you're in a league where you need top 10 quarterbacks.
Well, they're not happy. It's just that, like, you either have a top 10, you have a guy who's in the top 13 who you imagine is in the top 10. So there's like 13 or maybe 15. And then there's like 10 guys who are prospects, like Trubisky and Rosen and Darnold and those kind of guys that, you know, you just invested in. So you got to hope that they become in the top 10. Mayfield, who probably will be, even Josh Allen, they just use a really high pick on them. They have to kind of stick with it. They don't have to, but they're going to imagine that maybe one day these guys can be top 10. So that's like another 5-6 teams. And then you've got like some dumb teams like the Bengals in recent years who, you know, they do not have a top 10. It's not even really, well, Dalton could be argued to have been top 10 at one point, but you know, they just want to hold what they have. And then usually there's only like 5-10 teams at the bottom, maybe 8 teams at the bottom that are actually going to go all in to get somebody. A couple of them will sign free agents, and then, you know, the other 5 or 6 will draft a QB.
That's right.
But actually there's usually only 3 or 4 QBs available that are even sometimes fewer that are considered, you know, realistic prospects.
That's right. So, hey, that kind of covers a lot of what I wanted to hit on today was the QBs and all that. There are some other injuries, but, you know, we're not just, this isn't an injury update podcast. I don't really feel like going through the vagaries of Deshaun Jackson's thumb or Marlon Mack or Jeff Hireman. What are you working on for East Coast offense?
I don't know yet. I sometimes know on Monday night exactly
great radio.
What I'm writing about.
Great podcast.
Tuesday, but I, you know what? Here's one thing that occurred to me that I might write about, and it's a very obvious thing, but correlation does not equal causation.
Okay.
And it's interesting how people think, you know, everyone knows that. That's like everybody with a brain knows that, but people start to say things like, well, you know, his YPA was 5.8 last year, so I mean, he's toast. He's not a good QB. And they act like that's, you know, dispositive, but like, it's like, actually there's nothing you can do in year A that affects anything you do in year A+1 in that way. Like, but you know, I used to talk about this in baseball, like no matter how many home runs you hit in 2018, the ball will not travel 1 foot farther when you make contact in 2019. it's, you know, it's, it may be an indicator. It's certainly an indicator if you hit 50 home runs one year that you have good power, but it doesn't impart extra power to the ball. But the way we talk, just the conventions that we have when we talk as though prior performance causes good performance. Like it's actually causing it. You know, it's really just the swing that you're putting on the ball with the bat where the pitcher locates it. That's what's causing the ball to fly out, the wind conditions, whatever else, the physical causes. Those are causal. But an indicator just means, yeah, people who tend to hit for power one year tend to hit for power the next. That's an indicator. It's not a cause.
Right.
So we, you know, I was thinking of it. I don't know how coherent it is, but I was just thinking like when we look at, you know, making these predictions for the following year, I think a lot of times we're pretending like we're making causal predictions, but we're actually making correlative predictions, and that we're just basically saying, well, generally this is what happens in this case. So this is what's going to happen this year. But even though that may be true in a lot of cases, any sort of generally this happens, so I'm going to bet on this, is always correlation. These kind of things are correlated. Now you might say, well, actually this causes that generally, so we think it'll cause that in this instance. But even then you're sort of like, you know, the general situation is always correlated with a specific result. It's not causative of a specific result. Something like that I was considering.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll talk about it more on the,
but I may change my mind tomorrow. I have to flesh it out and see if that's even coherent. That might've just been total nonsense, what I said.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyways, I enjoy reading East Coast offense. I always like your preamble. I'll be looking forward to doing Guess the Spread tomorrow on the show. We can't do it on the pod because we're doing it on our normal day today. So there's that. Thank you, everybody, for listening to Talking Yang. Make sure to subscribe to RotoWire. If you don't already, go to rotowire.com/pod to get your free 10-day trial. Check it out if you want. Chris List's East Coast offense will be up tomorrow morning. My value meter will be up tomorrow night. You want to read me doing hoops? I'm doing that now, too. I have a weekly hoops article goes up on Mondays. You can check that out. And we're working on baseball. We got hockey. Got all that good stuff. So rotowire.com/pod. Get that free 10-day trial. We'll be back at you again next week. Thanks for listening.